what you need to be paying attention for are three things. You need to be looking out for
some sheep,
a cockerel or a rooster, depending on what you want to call it,
a fire.
Because all those things appear in this story. And remember, we're looking at the life of Peter, who was one of Jesus' best and closest friends. When Jesus was going around doing his mission on earth for 3 years, healing people, telling them about Jesus, about himself, it was Peter who was with him that time. There were 11 other disciples, but Peter and him were especially close. And we've been hearing about the last few weeks, how he was this fisherman. And then Jesus said, give up fishing, quit your job and come follow me. And now he's seen Jesus do great miracles. He's seen Jesus walk on water. He's seen Jesus heal the sick. And then last week we heard how he saw Jesus turn into his glory, reveal his full and true glory. And he's almost blinded by this. He's seen some amazing things. And now we're at a point in the story with Peter where Jesus has said he's going to go to the cross and die. He's had a last dinner with his disciples. He's broken bread and he's drank wine. And now they've headed out and they're going somewhere to pray. And on the way to pray, they stop and Jesus says these funny words.
He says, strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. Have you ever wondered why there are sheep? Like, why did God make sheep? Like, why of all the animals do we have sheep? What do they do? It's a fun question to ask, why did God make stuff? You could ask your parents later on, why did God make giraffes or elephants? But I wonder why he made sheep. Maybe he liked woolly jumpers or lamb. But one of the reasons the Bible actually tells us he made sheep was to give us a picture of what we're like. We, the Bible says, are like sheep. And sheep need a shepherd. I don't know, but if you look at these sheep over here, how good do you think they would be at fighting off a bear? At fighting off a angry wolf? Even fighting off an angry duck, I don't think they'd be very good at. Sheep need someone to look after them and take care of them and guide them. And that's what Jesus is. He's a good shepherd. But he's going to be struck down on the cross. He's going to be killed. And to all his sheep, his followers, Peter and his friends, are going to run away.
Now, disciples hear this and they're worried. Except Peter's not right. This is what Peter says. Peter says, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. Even if everyone else betrays you, Jesus, even if all your friends leave you, I'll stay with you to the bitter end. But Jesus responds to him, look, I tell you, this very night, before the cock crows, you will disown me 3 times. Not just once, Peter, not twice, but 3 times you're going to disown me. And Peter's like, no, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. Do you see how confident he is in his own ability to stay with Jesus? He's like, I will stay with you, Jesus, to the end. No one else will, but I will. I know and love you, and I'll stay with you. Jesus, Peter thinks he's strong enough to hold on to Jesus. He's like a shepherd, a sheep, who thinks it's strong enough to protect the shepherd. Now, in a moment, the Alberti is going to read us what happens next. Will Peter disown Jesus or not? But just so you know, the bit that happens in between, just after this, Jesus is going to go pray for a bit, and then he's going to be arrested. And big soldiers are going to come and arrest him. And they're going to bring Jesus to trial. And Peter and a couple of the other disciples, John, are first going to run away. And then they're going to sneak up and watch and try and find out what's happening to Jesus at trial. So the bit the Alberti is going to read to us now, Peter's waiting outside to see what the outcome of Jesus' trial is going to be.
This is Matthew 26, verses 69 to 75. Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. You also were with Jesus of Galilee, she said, but you denied it before them all.
I don't know what you're talking about,
he said. Then he went out to the gateway where another servant girl saw him and said to the other people, this fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth. He denied it again with an oath.
I don't know the man.
After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said,
surely you are one of them. Your accent gives you away.
Then he began to call down curses, and he swore to them,
I don't know the man.
Immediately a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken.
Before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times.
And he went outside and wept bitterly.
This bit of the story we're hearing is happening overnight. And it's Easter time, and it's springtime, so it's a bit cold.
So what is it that you do on a cold, dark night? Well, you have a fire. And outside where Jesus was under trial, where he was arrested, was a fire that was burning away. And so Peter gathered round it. And he kind of hid there in a corner, but it wasn't long before a servant girl saw him and recognised him and said, "Hey, aren't you that guy who followed Jesus around? Is it Peter?" And Peter just pretended he was confused and didn't understand the question. But before long, the servant girl spoke to another person, and they were like, "Yeah, that, I'm definitely sure it's that guy Peter. I'm sure it's one of Jesus' friends." And Peter's like, no, I swear I don't know who you mean. I'm not that Peter guy. I don't know Jesus. Who are you talking about?" But then everyone heard now. The entire group of servants around and all the bystanders who gathered up, all hanging around this fire, looked and went, "Yeah, you're definitely Peter. You've got the northern accent from Galilee like the rest of Jesus' friends. You're not a southerner like us from Jerusalem. You're definitely one of them. I'm sure I've seen you with them. Didn't you? Were you with them when they fed the 5,000? And Peter at this point says those fateful words. He says, "I never knew him." He curses them. He tells them to go away. And he says, "Cursed be me. I swear to God I didn't know him."
What I want us to see here is how awful this is, what Peter's done. This is not a small thing he's done. It's not a little thing. Jesus is his closest friend. He's the man he's been with for 3 years. He gave up everything, he's quit his job, left his home to come and follow Jesus. And he knows who Jesus is. He said, "Yes, you're Jesus, you're the Messiah, you're the Son of God." He's seen Jesus come like in all his glory from the heavens. He's heard the Father's voice boom down saying, "This is my Son whom I love. Listen to him." And yet, having heard all that, he denies Jesus 3 times. 3 times, he says. And he brings down curses upon himself. Look at that word there. It says, he began to call down curses and swore to them, "I don't know the man." Isn't that awful? That great betrayal of the Saviour who loves him and cares for him. Isn't that one of the worst things? He's renouncing his faith. He's giving up. He's saying, "No, I don't know him." And it's at that point there that the cock crows.
This is a cockerel, or a rooster, right? And you know what's special about roosters or cockerels? They, when the sun comes up, they cock-a-doodle-doo really loudly. They make a huge racket and a noise. It's like the night has over and the sun has appeared. So in our story, Peter's done all these things. He's denied Jesus repeatedly in the dark. And now the sun's come up. This guy, or someone like him. This guy's Broccoli. I don't think he was alive back in Jesus' day. But this guy, or someone like him, is making that cock-a-doodle sound. And Peter remembers everything that Jesus said. The sun's risen, and the cocks crow, and he realised what has happened.
How do you think God is feeling after Peter's great betrayal? How do you think God is feeling? What do you think he wants to do to Peter? Well, he could send a lightning bolt down. "You have betrayed and denied my son, and I shall strike you down." But instead, he reminds him with a chicken of Jesus' words. And that causes Peter to be bitterly sad and upset. But that's good, isn't it? God loves Peter. He cares for him. And he knows that he can't stand him. He knows he's a weak sheep. He knows he's going to run away without the shepherd. And so he sends a cockerel to crow to remind Peter of Jesus' words so that Peter will weep and cry out and realise he needs God to help him. Peter's going to realise that he can't do it on his own. He's not a big and strong shepherd who can fight off the other wild animals. He's a little sheep and he needs a good shepherd. He's going to realise that he's not so powerful, that he needs forgiveness. And God's glad to give him that. Isn't God merciful? Isn't he lovely and great? That even though we fail at things repeatedly, we don't do what he asks us to do, we're afraid and ashamed of it at times, and yet, when we realise what we've done and we cry out for mercy, he gladly forgives us. He shepherds us tenderly and looks after us. He cares for us like the sheep that we are. We have a good shepherd as a king, and a God in heaven who loves us dearly. So let's thank God for that. Let me pray for us now. Dear God, thank you that your son Jesus is a good shepherd. Thank you that he cares for us. Thank you that even though Peter failed and denied you, you still forgave him. You sent a chicken to remind him of all you said so that he would cry out and remember your goodness and be forgiven. Thank you that we can always cry to you too and be forgiven as well. Amen.